WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers are set to vote on Wisconsin's top elections official's future today. As Nate Wegehout reports, it may not make a difference whether she gets to keep her job.
The Senate Committee Overseeing Elections is set to vote Monday whether or not Megan Wolf should stay as elections administrator. That's despite legal opinions from both the state attorney general and the legislature's attorneys that say that they cannot legally rule either way. Republicans have been critical of Wolf for her handling of the 2020 presidential election. The committee will vote by paper ballot whether or not to fire Wolf, meaning that there will be no debate before the vote. However they vote, the full Senate will still need to take up the confirmation. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
A Republican bill to cut $3 billion in Wisconsin state income taxes gets a vote in the state assembly tomorrow. Governor Evers promises to veto it. The governor has a few complaints, but he tells WISN-TV he's especially concerned the tax cut would jeopardize billions of dollars in federal COVID relief money.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I understand people are interested in a tax cut, but when you look at the entire picture, $2.5 billion will leave the state of Wisconsin. I just can't stomach that.
Republicans plan to proceed for vote on tax cut anyway. Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August appeared on Upfront yesterday.
I know he's got Joe Biden's phone number. He could have a conversation with him about how these tax cuts are really important to the working people of this state.
The cut would go to individuals making as much as $304,000 a year and couples who bring in as much as $405,000. It would also eliminate state taxes on retirement income. September is National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Alex Gonzalez has more.
Dr. Ajay Bhatnagar says the majority of men diagnosed with prostate cancer are found in the early stages due to effective screenings. He says generally, men over the age of 50 are encouraged to get screened, but there are exceptions.
When people have high-risk features, such as family history or of being African-American ethnicity, can also impact, because we know that there is a higher rate of prostate cancer among African-Americans.
Bhatnagar says more men asking their doctors about prostate health has led to cancer being caught sooner, which he adds has resulted in a high cure rate for a majority of patients. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
The mayor of Waukesha says people can expect a noticeable change in the smell and appearance of their water next week. It's not the new water coming in from Lake Michigan itself, but the change in water pressure, which can agitate sediment in the city's water pipes. The change should be temporary. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A petition from Legal Action of Wisconsin seeks to decrease the amount of time eviction records are kept amid the impeachment threats surrounding the new liberal majority Supreme Court. The group seeks to change the rules so eviction records would be kept for only 1 year in cases where there is no monetary judgment against a tenant and be scrubbed from the Wisconsin Circuit Court website. Currently, eviction records must be maintained for 20 years after the close of a case. Wisconsin Democratic lawmakers are pushing a 10-bill package to make it easier for Wisconsin workers to form a union. The 10-bill package would ease requirements to qualify for union ratification and would require companies to recognize unions. It is not expected that the bills will advance to Governor Tony Evers' desk, however, as the legislature is controlled by a near-Republican supermajority. Democratic Representative Katrina Shanklin says union action has led to major wins for Wisconsin workers. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers beat the Bears again. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Bears 38-20 in a nationally televised game. Head coach Matt LaFleur said what impressed him the most about his team was how physical they played.
We played a complete game, four quarters. It was far from perfect, and there's a lot of cleaning up, but anytime you're plus two winning the ball, you got a great chance to win, and I thought our guys played hard, they played physical, and that's exactly what we've been talking about all season.
Packers running back Aaron Jones scored two touchdowns in the second half, including a 35-yard pass from quarterback Jordan Love.
I'm so proud of Jordan, you know, just saw the work that he's put in, all the time he's spent. This is where he wants to be, and he wants to be great. And, you know, he just gives us himself time after time after time. So you can't do anything but be happy for a guy when he succeeds like that.
Love finished the day with 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 123.2, and was asked if he could feel the support of his teammates in the locker room.
I definitely could feel it. Just being in the locker room with the guys, they're awesome, man. I was actually given a game ball today, and those guys were going crazy in there. So it's an awesome feeling for me. But, I mean, we got a great team.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus says losing the home opener at Soldier Field to Green Bay hurts.
All the guys in there are you know, sick to their stomachs, and, you know, all the coaches, everybody, and it's not something that you like.
College football, the number 19th ranked Badgers, trying to figure out what happened Saturday night when they lost on the road at Washington State, 31-22. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
There was an opportunity for us to make a few plays there at the end. We didn't, and they did. What it comes down to is making plays, and they made more plays.
Baseball, an incredible game for the Brewers, ends up in a 4-3 loss to the Yankees in 13 innings in New York. Corbin Burns pitched a no-hitter into the 8th. Craig Counsell after the loss.
You know, we got to turn the page. That's, you know, you lost. We played a good series, and yeah, it was a good baseball game, and we came out on the wrong side.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Good morning. Yeah, welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Monday morning. It is the 11th of September. Hope you're having a good day so far. Come on in, grab a seat, get a cup of coffee, maybe a cup of tea, and sit back for a little bit because we're going to go over some headlines, some sports, and some weather, and try to get you informed for the day. And outside today, going to be a fall-like day in La Crosse today, partly sunny. A slight chance of rain after about 3 p.m., high around 70 degrees. Same thing for Eau Claire. Partly sunny, slight chance of rain after about 3 o'clock, high again around 70. And in Richland Center today, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, high around 67. In Amory, partly sunny, high around 69 degrees. And up in Hayward, mostly cloudy, high around 66. That was a big sports day yesterday. Did you get to watch any of the Packers game? Well, you probably know they won yesterday, but the Brewers lost. Next game for the Packers is in Atlanta on Sunday. And the Brewers lost a heartbreaker to the Yankees yesterday, 4-3 in 13 innings. And the Cubs won yesterday. So Milwaukee's now 3 games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central. The Brewers start a 4-game series against the Marlins tonight in Milwaukee. And in the headlines today, well, you probably know it's the 22nd anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. Also, the Wisconsin Senate Committee overseeing elections will hold a vote today on whether to reappoint the state's top election official. And Wisconsin Republican lawmakers introduced a bill that would require special elections for state office vacancies instead of letting the governor make an appointment. So we're going to start today with this Senate committee
that is set to vote today on the future of elections chief Megan Wolf. And I've got a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says a key Senate committee is moving forward with a plan that could result in ousting Wisconsin's top election official less than a year before voters begin the process of selecting the next president. The state Senate committee overseeing elections will hold a vote on whether to reappoint Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf, despite legal opinions issued by the legislature's own attorneys and Democratic Attorney General Josh Call, concluding her appointment is not legally before the Senate. Senator Dan Knodel, Republican from Germantown, scheduled a committee vote on Wolf's appointment for today. He told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last Tuesday, following a public hearing for her position, that he was undecided whether to hold a vote and when. The committee will vote by paper ballot on Wolf's position instead of during an in-person hearing in the state capitol, which means members of the committee will not be available to answer questions about their votes. Knodel's office will collect the ballots and report the outcome. A spokesperson for Knodel on Friday said Knodel is fulfilling his constitutional duties based on Republicans' adoption of a resolution earlier this year to take up Wolf's nomination, which directed Senate President Chris Kapenga, Republican from Delafield, to refer Wolf's nomination to Knodel's committee for a recommendation. But state law requires the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission to reappoint Wolf with four votes, which did not occur. As a result, Call and the nonpartisan legislative council have issued memos saying Wolf's confirmation is not properly before the committee. The legislature's attorneys have stated that an appointment or reappointment requires four votes of elections commissioners under state law, a threshold Wolf has not reached because of procedural maneuvers made by the commission's Democratic members in an effort to keep her in the role in her position. Wolf did not testify at last week's public hearing, citing Call's legal opinion that she is a lawful holdover and the Senate has no authority to act on her appointment. She did not respond to a reporter's questions about her position at a Wisconsin Elections Commission meeting on Thursday. But at that hearing, clerks and Democratic WEC Elections Commissioner Ann Jacobs defended Wolf as a respected elections official. Public testimony was dominated by individuals and groups who falsely believed, again, that's falsely believed, in widespread fraud and who have narrowed in on Wolf. In a letter to committee members, Wolf explained that as administrator, she does not take votes on election rules. And even after the committee votes on Wolf's position, the full Senate would need to take up Wolf's confirmation to approve or reject her appointment. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, who argues that the commission's 3-0 vote constituted a 2/3 majority to nominate Wolf to a new term, has refused to answer questions about whether and when the chamber will hold a vote on her position. But it sounds like we might be learning more later today. And it sounds like that vote's actually going to happen today. It's 13 minutes, almost 14 minutes now after 8 o'clock on this Monday morning. I have another story for you from the State House. And this says here, Republican lawmakers seek to require special elections for vacancies in top state offices. This is a move by Republican lawmakers to try to take away some power from the governor. It says here, Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill, and this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel also. It says Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill that would require special elections for state office vacancies. That's a response to Democratic Governor Tony Evers appointing Sarah Godlewski as Secretary of State shortly after newly reelected Doug LaFollette retired. LaFollette retired 2 months into a four-year term he narrowly won in November of last year, 2022. He had held the position for nearly five decades. Here's a quote. It says, "The governor simply was able to hand pick a replacement as a political favor. This is wrong and should not be allowed in state law," the bill authors said in a memo on Friday. And we should mention that the bill authors are Republicans. The bill was introduced by Senator Corey Tomchick, Republican from Mozanie, and Representative Gay Magnifique, a Republican from Dresser. And the bill would instead require the governor to call a special election to fill vacancies for Secretary of State, also Treasurer, Attorney General, and State Superintendent. The bill, quote, "is not about politics, it's about good government," the authors wrote in a memo seeking co-sponsors. "The residents of Wisconsin choose who represents them in the executive branch, not the governor. Whether the move by the Secretary of State earlier this year was planned or not, it should never be allowed to happen again," Tomchick and Magnifique wrote. And it says here, currently, the governor's appointees do not need to be confirmed by the Senate and hold office until their successor is determined in a special election. If no special election is held, then the appointee serves the remainder of the term. But under this new bill, if a vacancy opens during a year that an election for the office is held, the governor can appoint a replacement if the Senate confirms the nomination. Godlewski had no comment on the proposal. A spokeswoman for Evers did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the bill. And it says here, Republican lawmakers, including Magnifique, introduced a resolution 2 years ago that would change the state constitution to turn the state superintendent, treasurer, and the secretary of state into positions appointed by the governor, Senate approval, rather than by popular election. Only one state constitutional office is currently held by a conservative. That's state treasurer John Lieber. So it could be that the governor is going to lose that opportunity to make those appointments if the Republicans get their way. 17 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock, now going to take our first break. Stick around. It's a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a few sprinkles or showers, a high near 69. For tonight, a few sprinkles, lows around 48. For Tuesday, partly sunny, a high near 65. Wednesday, sunshine with a high around 68. Thursday, sunshine and warmer, highs back to the mid-70s.
It's 51 at our studios.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
And welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Today is September 11th. It's the 22nd anniversary of the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. Going to play a song right now by Bruce Springsteen, which described the event.
Can't see nothing in front of me. Can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On the shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight. Left the house this morning. Bells were ringing. With mine. dancing on the end of my line. Sky of blackness and sorrow, dream of love. Sky of love, sky of tears, dream of love. Sky of glory and sadness, dream of love. Sky of mercy, sky of fear, dream of love. Sky of memory and shadow.
Springsteen commemorating a dark day in America's history. This date, September 11th, 2001. And man, it's good that we have people like him to kind of commemorate those things and give us songs that we can listen to years and years later. He actually put out a few songs on the album from which that song came. That's the title song. From that album called The Rising, which came out in 2002. That song written from the perspective of a firefighter climbing the steps, got that 60-pound stone on his back, hauling that half-mile line of hose up the steps as people are rushing past him to get down the steps. Yeah, poignant stuff on this anniversary. Going to take a break in just a second here. If you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, you can give me a call. And if you have memories of 9/11, feel free to call. The phone number is 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Today marks 22 years since the 9/11 attacks. A flag ceremony was held already at the Pentagon, and CBS's Kemi McCormick tells us
there will be observances in New York with a reading of the victims' names. Vice President Harris will attend that ceremony, but there will be no speeches from political figures. Her husband will be in Shanksville for the ceremonies there.
President Biden just wrapped up a quick trip to Vietnam and is stopping in Anchorage, Alaska for a 9/11 memorial there. Crews are racing against the clock, digging through massive amounts of rubble, looking for survivors of the earthquake in Morocco. The death toll is now up to 2,500. The Kremlin's announced that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is on a train heading to Russia now. Reporter Alex Jensen in Seoul.
Arms trade expected to be the key focus of talks between the two sides' leaders, reawakening old ties that go back to the Korean War.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lin.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A lack of affordable childcare in Wisconsin could affect other industries, according to childcare workers. Activists say as more families are squeezed out of affordable childcare every year, more parents are being forced to leave the workforce to take care of their own children. Business owners have also reported that full-time staff members have been forced to cut hours and work irregularly to accommodate childcare needs. Governor Tony Evers called a special session of the legislature to consider picking up funding for childcare in the state. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced they're looking to buy red pine seeds from the public. The collection is part of a reforestation program to replenish red pine trees throughout the state, which have been depleted after years of lacking good cone crops. The Department of Natural Resources will pay Wisconsinites $125 per bushel for properly collected red pine cones, and residents should call Griffith Nursery in Wisconsin Rapids, Wilson Nursery in Boscobel, and Hayward Nursery in Hayward to confirm purchasing is still open. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
City of ruins.
Now there's tears on the pillow, darling, where we slept. You took my heart when you left. Without your sweet kiss, my soul is lost, my friend. Tell me, how do I begin again? My city's in
Springsteen, another song inspired by the events on this date 22 years ago, My City in Ruins. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Monday morning. We got 58 degrees in La Crosse right now, and it's 59 degrees in Richland Center. And I want to mention that there are commemorations going on around the country today, even around the world, commemorating the events of September 11th, 2001. I have a story here from AP News, the Associated Press, apnews.com, talking about different events, no matter where you are on this planet. It says here that bells toll as the United States marks 22 years since 9/11. From ground zero to Alaska. And if you're too young to remember the events of that day, then it's important to pay attention to what's going on. This day, obviously, September 11th, 2001, one of the most important dates in this country's history since you could go back to World War II, right, and the attack on Pearl Harbor. I'll give you a little bit of the story here. It says, bells tolled at ground zero and solemn tributes unfolded around the country as Americans are looking back today on the horror and legacy of 9/11. People gathered at memorials and firehouses, city halls and campuses, and elsewhere to observe the 22nd anniversary of the deadliest terror attack on U.S. soil. And I think one of those times when the plane hit the building, the first building, is right around this time of the morning. I remember being up on that day, and it seemed like and this is easy to look up, the first plane hit like a little bit before 9 o'clock our time, and then the second one hit like a little bit after. But anyway, getting back to the story, it says, of observing the 22nd anniversary of the deadliest attack on U.S. soil. Nearly 3,000 people were killed when hijacked planes crashed at New York's World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And that attack reshaped American foreign policy and domestic fears. Here's a quote. It says, "For those of us who lost people on that day is still happening. Everybody else moves on, and you find a way to go forward, but that day is always happening for you." That's a quote from Edward Edelman, and he said that as he arrived at Ground Zero to honor his slain brother-in-law, Daniel McGinley. President Joe Biden is due at a ceremony on a military base in Anchorage, Alaska. His visit on his way back to Washington, D.C. from the trip to India and Vietnam is a reminder that the impact of 9/11 was felt in every corner of the nation, however remote. The hijacked plane attacks claimed nearly 3,000 lives and reshaped American foreign policy and domestic fears. On that day, quote, "We were one country, one nation, one people, just like it should be. That was the feeling, that everyone came together and did what we could, where we were at, to try to help," said Eddie Ferguson, the fire rescue chief in Virginia's Goachland County. It's more than 100 miles from the Pentagon and more than three times as far from New York. But a sense of connection is enshrined in a local memorial incorporating steel from the World Trade Center's destroyed twin towers. And we should mention, you probably know that there are pieces of that steel in several communities all around the country. Getting back to the story, it says the predominantly rural county of 25,000 people holds not just one, but two anniversary commemorations, a morning service focused on first responders, and an evening ceremony honoring all the victims. Other communities across the country pay tribute with moments of silence, tolling bells, candlelight vigils, and other activities. In Columbus, Indiana, 911 dispatchers broadcast a remembrance message to police, fire, and EMS radios throughout the 50,000-person city, which also holds a public memorial ceremony. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts raise and lower the flag at a commemoration in Fenton, Missouri, where a hero's memorial includes a piece of World Trade Center steel and a plaque honoring 9/11 victim Jessica Lee Sachs. Some of her relatives live in the St. Louis suburb of 4,000 residents. And here's a quote. "We're just a little bitty community," said Mayor Joe Moroth, "but it's important for us to continue to remember these events, not just 9/11, but all of the events that make us free," end quote. New Jersey's Monmouth County, which was home to some 9/11 victims, made September 11th a holiday this year for county employees so they could attend commemorations. As another way of marking the anniversary, many Americans do volunteer work on what Congress has designated both Patriot Day and National Day of Service and Remembrance. At Ground Zero, Vice President Kamala Harris is due to join the ceremony on the National September 11th Memorial and Museum Plaza. The event will not feature remarks from political figures, instead giving the podium to victims' relatives for an hours-long reading of the names of the dead. James Giacconi signed up to read again this year in memory of his brother, Joseph Giacconi, who was 43 when he was killed. The family attends the ceremony every year to hear Joseph's name. Quote, "If their name is spoken out loud, they don't disappear," James Giacconi said in a recent interview. The commemoration is crucial to him. I hope I never see the day when they minimize this, he said. It's a day that changed history. Biden, Joe Biden, will be the first president to commemorate September 11th in Alaska or anywhere in the western United States. He and his predecessors have gone to one or another of the attack sites in most years, though Republican George W. Bush and Democrat Barack Obama each marked the anniversary on the White House lawn at times. Obama followed one of those observances by recognizing the military with a visit to Fort Meade in Maryland. First Lady Jill Biden is due to lay a wreath at the 9/11 memorial at the Pentagon. So, as you can tell, commemorations going on across the country, even in Alaska and other parts outside of our country. So think about the people we lost today, and hopefully we'll never see anything like that again. It's 8:46 and a half right now. Going to take a break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
This is my right, a right given by God to live a free life, to live in freedom. Talking about freedom, I'm talking about freedom. I will fight for the right to live in freedom. Anyone tries to take it away will have to answer.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a few sprinkles or showers, a high near 69. For tonight, a few sprinkles, lows around 48. For Tuesday, partly sunny, a high near 65. Wednesday, sunshine with a high around 68. Thursday, sunshine and warmer, highs back to the mid-70s. Currently, 53 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Monday morning. And I should mention that it was on this date, September 11th of 2020, about, 6 months or so into the pandemic, that we lost. Toots Hibbert passed away on this date in 2020 from COVID-related symptoms at the age of 77 years old. One of the legendary figures in reggae music. If you haven't checked out Toots and the Maytals, I would advise you to do it. Hey, the next story I want, and by the way, I should mention, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on your local Civic Media radio station. We've got 53 degrees right now in Eau Claire and 52 degrees in Amory. And you've probably heard that there are some lawmakers in the House of Representatives that want to impeach the president. They haven't decided what for yet, but they're going to impeach him on something. At least that's the way some of them feel. And they are at odds with other lawmakers, of course, and not only of the opposite party, but even in their own party. I have a story here from The Hill. It says, hardline House Republicans are itching for a shutdown and for impeachment fights. So it sounds like they're ready to shut down the government and do everything they can to get their fellow Republicans to jump in on this impeachment game. This piece was posted late yesterday at thehill.com, and it's from Emily Brooks. It says here, hardline Republicans in the House are itching for fights over opening an impeachment inquiry into President Biden and extracting deep spending cuts, even at the risk of a government shutdown. Their eagerness to fight isn't just with Biden and Democrats, but also with Republicans in their conference, worried about the political risks of an impeachment fight and a shutdown. Those dynamics pose yet another challenge for Speaker Kevin McCarthy, whose job is to unify his conference. And here's a quote from, this is from Chip Roy, hardline Republican from Texas, and he says, quote, I'm tired of all these Republicans hiding behind, oh, but they'll say it's a shutdown, and they'll say that you're defunding law enforcement with the Department of Homeland Security. Well, that is all bull, word I can't say on the radio, but he says that is all BS. And that's, again, Chip Roy, member of the House Freedom Caucus. And he says, the truth is we're using the power that we were given to force change, because you don't pay people not to do their job. You don't pay people not to do their job. So it says here, allies of McCarthy are among those putting the pressure on him. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, Republican, who has repeatedly offered support for McCarthy, said she will not vote to fund the government unless the House opens an impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden. Then there's Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida, decidedly not a McCarthy ally. He suggested he could force a vote on ousting the speaker if he does not push forward on investigations of Biden and other officials. And here's a quote from Gaetz. He said, if Speaker McCarthy stands in our way, he may not have the job long, Gaetz wrote on X, formerly known as Twitter. More moderate members of the House say there is not enough evidence to move forward on an impeachment inquiry and are pushing leadership to reach a compromise with Democrats to keep the government open. Yeah, what happened to the idea of compromise and negotiation in government? I thought that's what government was all about. It's like, here's what I want. You tell me what you want. We'll negotiate and we will come to a compromise. Well, evidently, these hardline Republicans don't see it that way. Will they shut the government down? I don't know. That doesn't sound like they're ready to give in, that's for sure. Got 8:57 and a half right now. Going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
Sing it up, mister. Hear what I say, sir, yeah. No, yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo, yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said it, yeah.
Bandana, check. Boots, check. Gloves, check. As a motorcycle rider in Wisconsin, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself, too. Wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.